Hey Anchor, how about this for a supportive Saturday question? What if you knew that just asking somebody to talk to you was going to put you in the crosshairs of someone who said, "You're bullying me"? And this is the kind of thing that happens to me where I work. You see, I work with creative students and animators, business students as well. And if I make a portion of their marks an audio explanation of how they did some of the work, and I record what they've done, I ask them to actually simply hold up their handset and make a, say, an anchor report, that gets me called on the carpet by some of the heads of department. So how about that? Just asking someone to make an anchor clip can be accused, can lead you, if you're an academic in some institutions, to being accused of bullying. Oh my. Do I care? And this is the problem I have, you see, because I emote the idea of, look, I don't care if you think it's stressful. I don't care if you think it's bullying. I care if you want to use the nuclear weapons available to you. Go ahead and launch them at me. Disbar me from teaching, make me find another form of employment. That's how strongly I feel about it. So I believe people need to know that a portion of their employability is being able to express themselves with confidence, perhaps in a situation that they have less control over. When you make it an anchor clip, they don't have to publish it. It's just that walking into the situation where a piece of simple technology is putting them out in public creates this exceptional stress, which they translate into the action word of bullying, which is, I think, a misappropriation of the term. But by using that term, they can invoke all kinds of protection mechanisms, which then result in me being called in and counseled about my teaching methods. I'm still employed. I will still keep using the tactic. But boy, I tell you what, do I have some pressure that I put up with? And maybe I feel like I'm being bullied by the heads of the department. Yeah, I'm not feeling that way. And I'm not backing off asking people to express themselves with confidence about what they can do or what they've made or what they've observed. I think it's important. I think it's a social skill. I think it's a skill of active citizenship. I think it's a skill that I want to continue to try to evaluate, even though I'm accused of bullying them to get to the solution of a perfectly produced audio segment. I can tell I'm going to have to use a few segments here to talk about command voice, conversation, and courtesy. No, command voice, communication, and something else. Because I raised it on the heels of thinking about what it means when somebody hears you. You know, what do they want to engage? Do they like your tone of voice? Do they like the way you express? Do they like the speed at which you talk, the words you use? Where I teach, I get feedback about the American accent. So some people have to parse the American accent, especially women from Poland who are in an Irish classroom, and now I start talking to them. And I'm not on television, so I can tell they can sometimes reach to hear or reach to engage because it's a challenge. Literally, my voice is a challenge for them. Then I know in other places, casual conversation, like at a bus stop or on a train, on a journey with people who aren't from Ireland or aren't from the United States, the demeanor that you have, the tone of voice, the way you say a word, the enunciation you have, the range of language you use, all those things are either connection points or they're off-putting. Then Paul Almany comes along and offers an observation on something that I was talking about with regard to a command voice. Paul?
Bernie, I've just been listening to you talking about your command voice and referring to Duane at the same time. And it's very interesting you do this because it has crossed my mind on several occasions this issue of what you call, I didn't have a name for it, the command voice. And I've often thought to myself, is, you know, how different the command voice is to what Irish people will welcome and love and respond to. Such a difference. I don't know to what extent Duane is aware that he has a command voice. He has once or twice hinted that he developed his voice, especially for podcasting, which leads me to wonder, you know, sometimes I wonder, is he like that all the time? But yes, definitely your command voice isn't your most effective influencer. Bernie, what definition of bullying do they use in your institution? Is there a written down anti-bullying policy which defines bullying? And to what extent is there use of the word in conformity with the policy? You see, to be exact, the anti-bullying policies that I'm familiar with are about persistence, persistently doing something which is found by somebody else to be unpleasant, to simply say that it's a condition of this module that you do an anchor.
Paul, there probably is a definition that I should know, and I'm probably deficient, derelict in duty for not memorizing it. So I will look it up. What happens is, from the power of their seated position behind a large desk, somebody in a senior in a line of authority will invoke the status position and basically say that I don't do certain things, meaning I'm not supposed to do certain things. And what they actually can do is they can be very indicative about what kind of mechanisms are allowed to be used on a syllabus, especially if they show that me trying to get audible responses to challenges, academic challenges, isn't actually specified in part of the curriculum. Most people don't invoke that kind of control, but there are a few who, just because they want to avoid any kind of stress, any kind of complaint, any kind of feedback, any type of complaint, they'll come down on the first pressure point that they can, which is normally at source. It's me in the classroom saying, asking too difficult of a level or more too comprehensive an answer. But going back to your question, you know, I will research that, because I think they're misappropriating the term. And then that drags the word bullying through the dirt with that misappropriation. Yeah. Thanks for asking. The rain has stopped where I am. I hope it's nice and pleasant where you are as well. Thinking about those golf courses, got to get that handicap down, because Bobby Koontz is coming your way. I've got a string of communication that's unfolding on an otherwise less than windy weekend. So the good news is that the wind has started to die down and the moisture is leaving the air. So I might get my shed roof repaired. In the meantime, I'm going back and forth with several students this weekend who are communicating very explicitly, very clearly, about some user experience issues they have. I have a very complex set of assignments. It's actually too complex. I realize that as I say it. But the ones that can express themselves the best are going to definitely get the fastest results. This idea of student expression, how you do it, whether you can vocalize it or send it by email, or in this case, I'm getting a lot of direct messages through text clients. And being able to do that is so important. In a way, you don't burn bridges or create upset in the tone of voice you use or the expressions that are unvarnished instead of smooth. So Tim Araneta has been there before, working with creatives, trying to get them to express themselves better. He's made a few call-ins. I've heard one of them. I'll play both and then come back at the end and digest what Tim's offered. Tim's a storyteller. He lives in Berkeley. Gosh, I love that town. Thanks for calling in, Tim. Here you go. Have a listen. Tim Araneta talking to me about thoughts arising from creative students being challenged to express themselves audibly.
Bernie, 20 years ago was my one experience teaching at the university level. The Academy of Art College, a private art and design school in San Francisco, realized that their students they were preparing for art careers, graphic design, animation, fashion design, industrial design, television. They had the technical knowledge but not the career skills. And so they made every student sign up for a course called Compelling Communications. I was one of many instructors, and we taught not only public speaking and collaborative skills, how to work in a group, but we also taught about how to recognize status in the workplace and the strategies people use to show high and low status and how you could influence people by both recognizing and displaying these behaviors. But I just found it fascinating that the institution itself required all its students to learn how to communicate their ideas. By and large, the students were receptive to the course, mainly because we did a lot of group exercises and games, and it was the only requirement for the course that you had to participate. So you weren't doing your animation or drawing in the course. You were just learning to do public speaking and collaboration. I did have one student who argued with me for an hour, and then I told him, go talk to the dean and drop the course. He was a returning student in his mid-30s, had been in the workplace for 10 to 15 years and didn't feel like he needed a course in how to get along with people because he was a working professional already and had, you know, and I could tell he understood the content of the course. And I did have one student who had social anxiety and got a medical excuse from a physician saying that she did not have to participate in any activities where she might have to stand up in front of the classroom.